Praise be to God. Where have we heard that song before? Oh, thank goodness for Martin Luther. We have to bow down to our Lutheran friends and say thank you for such a mighty man like Martin Luther, who gave us such powerful words that are contained in this great hymn of the church. Boy, I tell you, that is just amazing. 100 years before Wesley. I'm sure that sparked Wesley. I'm sure he was fired up because of Martin Luther. And I know that John Wesley's father sure was fired up. He was one of those, oh my goodness, he would pound the pulpit and the people would shudder in their seats. But beyond that, why, they would get mad at him. Why, Wesley's father was a man that, the people should have feared him, but instead they turned on him. They killed his chickens, and they ruined his crops, and they did all sorts of things against Wesley. And, of course, John continued in those steps, but in a little bit different fashion, not so much pounding the pulpit, but to bring the message of God to the blue-collar folks out in the fields. And that's where he started really making it count for the glory of God. It says in history that he would preach to as many as 20,000 people without the assistance of a microphone. I got to thinking about those guys back there in the booth and how much work we go to wire us up so you can hear us. And I was talking to somebody this morning. Well, you just pound the pulpit. You see, that's the way you do it. Nothing moves very well here. So everything is really glued together real well on this pulpit so it doesn't ring out with that big sound. 20,000 people, can you imagine? And they shuddered to hear God's word. And they came to faith because they knew that their hearts were in the wrong place. And they asked God to lead them and to guide them. Of course, Whitfield, he was one of Wesley's friends that were part of the Holy Club there at Oxford. And Whitfield, George Whitfield, why, he was a better preacher, it's told, than Wesley. But what was so unique about George, why, you know, as John got his 10,000 to repent, why, George would get his 20,000 to repent. But the thing about George is that's where he would leave it. But with John, his uniqueness was to bring those people into small groups and say, now, we must minister to one another. We must realize that God has called us, but we need to grow in our faith. It just doesn't, we come to faith like that. We believe, but then we need to grow in our faith. We need to see how God wants to use us for his mighty work. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit, and as we meet another in that group, you see, others hold us accountable. Gary, what have you been doing this week? Gary, have you trusted in God? Have you been doing all the things that God has asked you to do this week? Have you spent time on your knees, Gary? That's what we do in those small groups. And you see, those groups become mighty in the Holy Spirit. God is able to take those groups and to use them for his glory, to bring others to a living relationship with the Lord. Well, that's not what I was going to preach about at all this morning. So let's see what I've got here with my notes. We're looking to Lent. What is Lent? Well, when we talk about the Lenten season, we know that Lenten means spring. It's beginning, a beginning time. Well, I have to tell you that I've been gone this week. I haven't been here at the church if you tried to get a hold of me. I was in Salt Lake City. No, now don't worry. I was there at the temple. However, it was right across the street from where we were meeting in the Episcopal Center. And I finally ended up my 92 hours of a special ministry called Transitional Ministry. This is something we haven't heard too much in our conference, but in the conference to the north of us, there in Colorado, Utah, and Montana, parts of Idaho, that conference up there, why, they have quite a few transitional ministers. They only go into a church for a short period of time, and they try to get people refocused. Now, I wanted to tell you a little something about this before I go on. And that is, I learned some new words while I was up there. Words like transvalued. I mean, that's not a word you use every day. And what does transvalued mean? Well, my grandfather used to say to me as a little boy, "Gary, experience is a dear school, and fools learn by no other." Grandpa, what do you mean? Well, you'll learn someday. I thought about that guidance that he gave me. I wasn't related to Grandpa. He was my step-grandpa. And he was a bricklayer. All of his family had been bricklayers. So he was always making something. And he lived with us there on the little farm there in California. And so he would always say that to me, Grandpa, and I would always say, "What do you mean?" And said, "Gary, I ask you to do something. And I tell you how to get started. But you go off on your own. And you go do what you want to do." Well, Grandpa, that's what I'm used to doing. Now, this is transvalued. You see, what transvalue means, it says evaluate by a principle that varies from the accepted standard. A principle that varies from the accepted standard. We learn certain things from our childhood and growing up. I had learned certain things, and so I had always approached whatever I was to do by those things out of my experience. But you see what he was trying to tell me, "Gary, look," he says, "you've got to trust me. My experience, I have lived so many years beyond you and what you have lived, you need to trust and value those things that I tell you and how you should do them." Experience is a dear school, and fools learn by no other, because they want to go out and do it themselves, their way, you see, their way. But that's what transvalued is. We need to set a different principle in effect. We need to go back to the beginning. Well, I have an example I want to share with you. This one couple, they lived in an apartment, and they were always fighting with each other. The couple next door was getting tired of all the noise they would make, and they'd bang on the walls, they'd throw things across the room, and bang on the wall again. And sometimes it'd be, you know, late at night. So they just got tired of it, so they called the police. Police came to the door, knocked on the door, and fella opened the door and said, yes, officer, what can I do for you? He said, I hear there's been some disturbance here. Oh, that officer, it's been squared away. It's okay now. Well, just what do you mean? How is it okay now? Well, it ended this way. She finally came to me on her knees. On her knees. Yes. My wife came and got on her knees before me, and that's where it ended. Oh. Well, now tell me a little bit more about that. What did she say? Do I need to say that? Oh, yes. What did she say? Well, she said, "Henry, you get out from under that bed and come out and fight like a man." Well, here's an example of transvalued. It used to be a day that women couldn't get away with that sort of thing, you know. But now it's different. Now sometimes we hear the best things from women. Kind of the best guidance that we could possibly get is from women. I think in the life of the church, we see that women's group, they're the ones that have their ducks in a row. You've kind of got to put together. The Lord uses the women of the church to steer the church. I think that's true. What's happened to the men? Well, I think their values have gotten a little rusty somewhere along the line. Am I just guessing about that? Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, huh? Well, I think there's some difficulty here. As I think about the life of the church, I want to think about what we've been trying to do here, and we've been meeting since September in what is called our Growth and Development Committee. We have picked some people in the life of the church that we feel would be able to come up and see clearly without having a big issue with all that's happened in the past, and come to this in a new vision, a new light. What does the church need to be? What should our values be, and in which direction should we be heading? Now, we started meeting back in the middle of September. And I think first meeting was September the 16th, something like that. Anyway, we've been meeting some months every week. So this just isn't something we've come up with at the spur of the moment. We've been working very hard at this. In fact, you have participated in this by writing your ideas down as where you think the church needs to make some adjustments in its life and in its program, that sort of things, and we put those in a box, collected those. We have got those now together, and we broke them down into three parts. And I told you last week that I wanted to get those out to you, and I've thought about it since I've been gone, about how do we need to get those out. Because we don't want to just flood you with these ideas and then have you say, because I'm afraid that's what it's going to be. So I think it'd be better that we approach this a little bit at a time. And so I think that's what we need to do. You see, there are basically three areas: one outreach, one worship, and one marketing. Now, some of these we've already attempted to do some things about, like our marketing with our website, which just started, and we need to develop some things with that. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of people. Well, I think I'd like to start with the very first, and that's called outreach. And what we've come up with is our groups. We have social groups that meet. Now, these groups are important groups, but I know how this works, and you know how this works. The leader of the group calls and says, "We're going to have our group meeting on Thursday. I want everybody there Thursday." Well, I can't make it. I can't make it. I've got a golf date on Thursday. Well, that's important. Got those three other guys you're going to be meeting with. You're going to be out there on the golf course, and you can't get out on that golf course that easy. It's pretty hard. Or I can't meet because I've got cards with the ladies. That's our card day.
That's an important day. We talk about things that are important things. What our grandchildren are doing. I know, I have grandchildren. That's important.
Okay, and so the leader of the group, she says, well, three of us will meet. Pastor, are you coming? Yeah, Phyllis and I show up. And there's three in the group. We say, well, is this all you have in your group? Oh, no. That's all we could get together this time. And they only meet monthly. Of course, we only have them a certain number of months during the whole year, 6 months during the whole year. I think we need to take a little bit at a time. If we just take that portion of it and work on that, I think we'd be doing a lot. I think what God intends for those groups is not just social, but He wants those groups to get into His Word, into the Bible. And I'm not talking about a bunch of Baptists. I'm talking about Methodists. We have a method, and we started out. You remember the Holy Club that met at Oxford? The other students looked at them, and they jeered at them. We're going to call them Methodists because they have a method to their devotion and to their prayer. They not only study God's Word, they think about the prisoners down at the prison. They think about the hungry that are out on the streets and the drunkards that need to be in some kind of rehabilitation. We need Bible study groups that are combined with missions. And we need to have it be dynamic. And how can it be dynamic? And that is if we are all in it. If we've all given the value to it. And say, yes, this is important. We know that God wants this for us. I was coming in this morning and I saw some guys out walking. And they looked pretty trim. I thought, well, here, there you go. I know what that is, to be trim. I was there once. Well, we spent a lot of time on that. We gave a lot of emphasis to that. My daughter's trying to get me trim and giving me smoothies. Have you tried those? I mean, you put a lot of fruit in it, bananas and stuff to make it sweet, and it's not bad, as long as you're holding your nose and you don't look at it. What happened to the scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage? I tell you, I wrestle with myself every morning when I get up. Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, let me get back to what we were talking about here. That fellow that's out walking, I know that's important for him, but I wonder if he's in a Bible study. That life of his is not going to last but just a few more years. And then what? Wooden box. That's what. Or else a wooden box. And that's it. This is the reality of it, is it not? The reality. I go with Sandy to the hospital sometimes, and I see those people there, and it's dismal to be there. You never know what germ is lurking around the corner that's ready to attack you. So you're there to get a knee replacement. But you wonder, Lord, help me get out of this place. I know that there's more that can happen to me than just a knee replacement. I could be in big trouble. But we give a lot of time to our physical bodies because that's all we have. We live within this. But that isn't what God's looking at. He gives us these bodies like a rental. We live in a rental. But He's not focusing on that. He's focusing on our hearts, on our spirits. He wants to know what we're thinking about and how we're growing in our faith and how dedicated we are about serving Him. That's what he is concerned about. Are we with him? And are we together in this? Are we ready to join together? I want you leaders of these social groups to take charge. You can do it. I know you can do it. It's not going to be easy, I know. But you need to focus on, Lord, help me to think about how we can meet in a Bible study group. Maybe you're too large of a group to meet in one group. Maybe it needs to be divided up and to have four Bible study groups or something. But you not only need to form it and develop it, you need to get a good devotion that you can use, and there are a lot of them out there. But you need to let somebody know that you're having this group so that it encourages others. Let it be known. So-and-so started a new Bible study group. It meets there at such and such time. And they're looking for new people if they want to come and be a part of that. And when your group gets too big, you can split it. That's what needs to happen. Need to wrap up. I haven't even got to my sermon. Oh, dear. I know what I say is right. I've been thinking about it a long time. Talk to this man down the lawn, former priest, who fell in love with the Lord and with ministry at a young age. But he got some difficulty, left the Catholic Church for a little while just to recover. And while he was recovering, he fell in love with someone that was renting a room for him, to him. And that lady introduced him to the Methodist Church. And he began coming to our church. And he was part of our Bible study group. I'll never forget the ministry that he brought to that group, the inspiration that he was to me. And that's how we can all be to one another. But we need to have the right environment. We can't do it out on the golf course. We can't do it in the card club. We've got to have the right environment. I pray that you'll take this to heart, that it'll be different next week when we meet, that you will have done something. Maybe I ought to start another group, another morning group. I'd be willing to do that. We have a couple of Bible study groups, one going down at Royal Oaks, another over at the Palms, that meet, but those folks, they're ready for that, but we need people that kind of are living in their individual homes and I've got a busy schedule, but need to transvalue their schedule and look at different values for their life. Let us close. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will guide us, O Lord, in the ministry of the church, that we can be a church that has a foundation of biblical understanding, being guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we know nothing is going to happen unless the people in this congregation believe it and deep down inside decide to do something about it. Lord, help us as a church grow in our faith and to be strong in that ministry of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.